I'm Sean Morgan, and I'm asking the hard questions about alternative topics like QAnon and coronavirus. Get the free ebook at QAnonFAQ.com.
I am here with Red Eagle Patriots, and welcome to the show. Do you want to give us a little background on yourself?
Yeah, so I'm a YouTuber and a political commentator. I focus a lot on election analysis, but I talk about current events, talk about policy from time to time. It's got 40,000 subscribers. It's growing really fast. So if you guys want to check me out, you guys can find it and subscribe to the channel.
Great. Yeah. And I noticed you call yourself a paleoconservative. I'm not familiar with that term. Can you explain that one?
Well, a paleoconservative is somebody who rejects neoconservatism, which is a lot of what the former Bush, Romney type of establishments were. Paleoconservatives stress things like American nationalism, opposition to free trade, support of tariffs, things like that, and opposition to things like illegal immigration and immigration wall. A lot of the neocons want open borders and, you know, intervention. We oppose a lot of the foreign wars that have taken place over the past 20 years or so as well. So
great. And could that also be summarized as America First? Do you think that's
yes? I think
aligned?
It's. I think it is America First. Absolutely.
Great. And so you've been looking at potential nominees for the Democratic Party, Republican Party in the future. How about for 2020? What does it look like to you as far as, do you think Joe Biden's going to make it to the end here? Do you think he's going to clinch the nomination? Who are some potential VP candidates if he does? Or who are some potential nominees if they have a DNC convention and they decide to go with someone else?
Well, I think that Biden has enough delegates, at least for now. Obviously, that can change. He hasn't been awarded the nomination at the convention. His name's not on any of the general election ballots. So clearly it can change between now and then. But I honestly do think that Biden, probably they're going to stick with him. The establishment has surrounded behind him really as soon as like March 3rd or Super Tuesday, when all of the establishmentarian candidates decided to drop out. So I think that Biden probably will be the nominee. If not, maybe last ditch effort, they could give it to somebody. People are floating around the names of Hillary Clinton as usual. I mean, she's at what, 5% in the betting odds or so. But I think Biden probably still does get the nomination. As for the VP candidates, there's been a few names that have been floating around. Probably not so much anymore Amy Klobuchar, because she was found to be involved in covering up misconduct from the police officer that killed Floyd down in Minneapolis. So I don't think that she would be part of the consideration. But I think that people like Stacey Abrams, God forbid, even Michigan's own Gretchen Whitmer, are going to be on the short list. I just don't know which direction he's going. And he still has a couple of months left before he makes a final decision.
But isn't that a complete train wreck for the Democrats to choose someone like Biden, who can't really complete a sentence, who they've been pretty much sheltering him from the public so that he doesn't make any other stupid mistakes? This is a guy who only gets 1,000 people on a live stream. He can't fill a restaurant sometimes. When you got Trump and he's got like 30,000 people in a stadium, what are your thoughts on that? Like, what is the Democrats' mindset or reasoning behind going with Biden when he seems like such a loser in the debates and in his ability to communicate?
Well, I think that I agree with you there. He doesn't really know where he is. I don't think he even wants to be doing this, but they see him as the safe pick. They see him as the establishment safe pick, kind of how Republicans saw Mitt Romney back in 2012, kind of how Democrats saw John Kerry back in 2004. They're trying to see if they can cling on to that last Obama nostalgia, which I personally think is fading away. And the enthusiasm gap, as you mentioned, it's showing. And even though some of Trump's base might not agree with some of like things like the riot responses, they're still going to stick with them. And the enthusiasm gap still holds true, even in some of the recent polling that has Trump down 7 to 8 points against Biden. Trump still has a big edge in enthusiasm. And that's really what matters at the end of the day, is people that show up to the final polls are what matters come election day.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of fake polling. So all the pollsters said that Trump was going to lose in 2016, and they were all wrong. So where do you go to try to get accurate polling?
Well, for a lot of the polling, what I do sometimes is I weight the polls by methodology. Some of the polls, they don't even weight by education. They don't even weight by party ID in some instances. And if they do, they get the numbers completely wrong. So, I mean, there's this one website out there that has this methodology called States Poll. And while all the media outlets were saying Trump is going to lose big time, they actually had Donald Trump winning, and they nearly called every single state correctly back in 2016, and they did very good job in the 2018 midterms. So we'll just have to wait and see in the polls right now. Obviously, it's the polls right now don't look good for him, but as you mentioned, they're kind of skewed, and I personally believe there still is going to be that secret Trump voter that's going to pull him to the end, is kind of what we saw last time, especially in places like the Midwest.
Right. So what's the name of that site? You said State Poll?
Sorry, I missed that. States Poll. They haven't really been doing a lot of analysis for the 2020 election, but I've kind of been weighting some of the polls by state on my website, readygoldpolitics.com, in the election center.
Cool.
So I've kind of taken their methodology because they don't really update very much.
So Biden is full of scandals. You've got a $1 billion deal in China. You've got the Burisma crap with his son and the prosecutor in Ukraine. Some people and Q, you know, my channel is all about Q. So Q has pointed out many times that people run for president just to avoid prosecution, so that, you know, when there is some kind of investigation or whatever, they can say, oh, Trump's just going after a political opponent. That could be part of the reason why Biden continues to run, even though he doesn't want to.
Yeah.
I'm curious about the Republican side of things. So what are your thoughts on Pence? Do you think that Pence will be the VP in 2020? Do you think that he might leave? What are your thoughts on the future of the Republican ticket?
Well, personally, I think that Mike Pence probably is going to stay on as VP. I mean, there's been rumors floated about Trump picking somebody else for a while now, but it seems like Pence is just going to be the VP. He's going to stick with him, at least to my knowledge. But I do agree with the, as for Biden wanting to run for office, it could very well be because he wants to have this view where he's the political opponent and not just some American citizen that's going overseas and using his power to have these deals made that benefit him personally. I was just saying that I honestly could see that being the case, as why he's wanting to run for president, despite the fact that he's so mentally not there, is just because he wants to have that appearance that he's some sort of persecuted political target.
Right. So what about looking forward to 2024? You had some interesting predictions about that. Who are some rising stars in the Republican Party that might be on the presidential ticket? And maybe you can just tell us, after you talk about the presidential ticket, who are some people to watch for the future running for office?
Well, in terms of 2024, this is an election where there's going to be a wide open field, probably on both sides. Even if Biden somehow does win, it's probably going to look like he'd be a one-term president at most, or his VP would be the nominee. So personally, I think there's going to be probably around 30 or even 40 people for both sides that are going to run for president. And on the Republican ticket, there's going to be some rising stars to watch. Obviously, I think that one of the more realistic choices to run is Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. He seems to be very popular in Florida, seems to have the establishment supporting him, as well as the Trump base. He seems like a very effective governor. He gets things done in Florida. He could get things done in Washington. Josh Hawley out of Missouri is another one to watch. He seems to be one of the people that's talking about tackling issues such as big tech censorship, which has censored so many conservative voices and is helping the left push their Overton window of the internet over to the far left. So obviously those are two main people to watch. There's plenty of other candidates. Some people, obviously the establishment crowd that ran in 2016, like Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, they could be giving it a go as well. Maybe Pence will run. A lot of the neoconservatives are going to be circling around Nikki Haley if she decides to run, which is very possible, although I would not be in support of that. But personally, I think the one wild card that could actually run, and a lot of people have actually been talking about this recently, is the fact that Tucker Carlson, the Fox host, could actually be angling himself for a run. He seems to be an economic populist. He seems to be an ultra conservative on some issues. And as a person who, like himself, speaks directly to the people, he very well could have a shot to win if he runs. The question is, will he run? And I'm not entirely sure of that. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Very strong candidate. This is a guy who has been in the public's eye for decades. And he's really has his finger on the pulse of the nation right now. And he is inspiring people to stand up for what they believe in. And he's really holding it to the Republicans and saying, hey, yeah, we need you in the Senate to stand up and to do your job and to not be afraid. And through this whole COVID-19 lockdown thing, I mean, he has been on fire. His monologues are legendary. So I would vote for him for sure. How about Don Jr.? How about Ivanka? How about Candace Owens? Are there any other people you're considering?
I mean, in the future, possibly. I think a lot of the people would be a little turned off for a dynasty thing. And personally, as for Ivanka goes, I just think she's a little bit too liberal for my liking. But Candace Owens, maybe in the future, maybe she could run for Congress or something. Obviously, there's not only this election, but a big midterm election coming up in 2022. A lot of people retiring, a lot of wide open seats, a lot more rising conservative stars could be running for Congress, and Candace Owens very well could be one of them. So we'll just have to wait and see.
How about the idea of splintering political parties? Because, you know, my opinion is that the Democratic Party is going to break under its own crimes, because you have the Russia thing. You've got Seth Rich murder. You've got the Steele dossier. You've got this laundry list of scandals for the DNC. And the fact that if this stuff that Q's been talking about actually ends up coming out, that a lot of the people like Podesta, who are basically in the power structure of the DNC, are going to be implicated for crimes against humanity. And that could really turn people off to that organization, the Democratic Party, and it might cease to exist, actually. So what are some potential political parties, not just on the Democratic side? You can also maybe talk about the Republican side, about this idea of multiple political parties formulating, like an America First Party or Tea Party, or on the left side, maybe Green Party or Progressive Party. So what are your thoughts on splintering? Because we've had a two-party system for far too long.
I do agree with that being something that could happen in the future. It seems hypothetically like it would be unlikely to see parties break up, but it could happen. It's potential. The Democrats would probably have their neoliberal wing, and then they could break up and have their more progressive party wing, kind of the Bernie Sanders, AOC type of individuals. And the Democrat Party would have, again, the other wing of it would be more of the establishment, although, as you mentioned, a lot of those people could very well be going to jail for a long time if they get prosecuted. You could say a similar thing for the Republican Party. Their establishment would probably break up into two different parties. You would have the current Republican Party. Then you also could have the possibility of having the more populist, more nationalist America First Party that could take place. So you could very well see four parties in the United States of America in about, 15 to 20 years or so. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
And what about the existing political parties like Libertarian and Green Party? How strong do you think those are?
I don't personally think that they're going to be gaining that many supporters. The Green Party, again, if the Democrat Party would break up, I think a lot of the Green Party members would just go to the Progressive Party because they would align on most things, and the Green Party may cease to exist. As for the Libertarian Party, the amount of people that actually believe in a lot of the principles that they believe in, sort of this like ANCAP worldview, it's just very, very limited. You really don't even have that many people in the Republican Party, and even people that are sort of libertarian, like Rand Paul, they actually have more conservative principles and nationalist principles on many issues.
Right. Yeah, Rand Paul's another person to watch. He's definitely a strong. Yeah. He has grassroots support, kind of that he picked up from his father in a way. And he's closely aligned himself with the president, which is politically expedient for him as well. So I think he's a real strong personality and obviously has tons of experience, and he's a doctor, which is a plus as well. How about, I noticed on your social media, you were encouraging people not to become complacent because this Republican win in 2020 for Trump isn't guaranteed. So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, personally, I think that it's not important. It is important to not just sit there and discount all the polling. It's still important to, you know, mobilize the base. It's still important to get everybody out to vote because nothing is exactly guaranteed. We can't just be complacent just because it seems like Trump is going to win because Biden is a dead man walking, because that doesn't mean that Biden is not going to be paying people to be bused to the polling places. We have to mobilize. We have to do our thing. We have to have our grassroots actions, and we have to keep our support behind the president so we can defeat Biden at the end of the day.
How about mail-in voting and voter ID? What are your thoughts on that for the 2020 election?
Oh, well, I think that we need to make a voter ID a mandatory thing. I think Trump should have done that a while ago. He still has time to do it, but it's probably not likely going to happen before the election. As for mail-in voting, I think it's just a giant hypocrisy. Of course, the Democrats are going to be talking about, oh, well, it doesn't really increase the rate of fraud, this, that, and the other thing. But at the same time, fraud, we've had studies show that it's extremely unlikely to go detected, and the system can be abused, especially with ballot harvesting, if you look at California in 2018. So I think that it's ironic to hear the Democrats just whine about mail-in ballots, knowing that a lot of the virus would be over now. And you kind of see that happening, and you have all these protests and riots that are being supported by the Democrats, and these are the same people that a couple months ago said that voting in person in November would kill you. So it's just it's just ironic to see. It's just kind of fun.
Yeah, you know, the Democratic I don't know what you would call it, the ideology itself actually seems to be cannibalistic. It always just turns on themselves, and then they end up contradicting themselves, and it makes the Republican job easy. All you have to do is just continually point out the contradictions. Why'd you choose to create a YouTube channel? What do you think that Red Eagle Politics does that's different from the other commentators?
I personally just kind of started it just to kind of get my voice out there, be a run-of-the-mill commentator. But then I had a video that was an election prediction video that somehow kind of exploded overnight. Again, in the first 100 days of its upload, it got over 140,000 views or so. It got me a few thousand subscribers. So I kind of focused on that for a while. And now I'm kind of incorporating election analysis with political commentary, kind of mixing them together. I have my live streams that I go live for, and I get a lot of people on those. So it's kind of a good operation that I have going. It kind of touches all the bases. But I'd say that the one thing that would put me apart from some of the other commentators is the election focus, is the map focus, and some of the data focus, because that's really where all the policy comes from, is elections, and we elect people and they enact the policy. So I think it's important that I touch base on that, and I'm incorporating more, you know, policy videos in as time goes on. So it's kind of a good balance between the two.
Have you had any problem with censorship?
Some of my videos have gotten demonetized from time to time, but that's not really been that much of an issue. I'd say that the biggest problem I've had is through Google search and Google images, because if I've Googled my name, and my Twitter account was hacked a while ago, and there's some screenshots of things I didn't say, and they're really high up there on the Google image search results coming from these leftist accounts, well above things that I've actually posted, neither on YouTube or whatever. These things are popping up first and foremost, and I didn't even tweet these things anyway. So I think that there's a clear agenda going on. As for YouTube, I think that the monetization thing has been a hassle. Hasn't been a problem for me yet, but it very well could be as the channel continues to grow, because a lot of commentators, not much bigger than me have had things like their super chats taken away for things that they really didn't even do. And even full channels have gotten taken down. So that's kind of why I've been trying to branch out into other platforms as well. Like my own website, I have a DLive channel for streaming. I'm trying to build that up before I use both of them. So one can hope that there's going to be some sort of new platform out there in the future besides YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. There's a whole list of alternatives, and they're not really very good alternatives. I hate BitChute. I just think the user interface sucks. It's just clunky. I started using Brighteon, but then that actually broke and I couldn't use it. Plus, all of them are censored on Facebook, so I can't have any videos on Facebook if I use Brighteon. And now I'm using HugeTube, which is like Utah Exchange. I don't know if you heard of that one.
Never heard of it.
A really nice interface. The only problem is that it doesn't have that network effect of a bunch of people using it. Have you covered QAnon at all on your channel?
I did a video a while back, if QAnon was real, how the electoral map would look, but I don't really cover that a whole lot.
Okay, cool. And I'm curious about your experience now and with polling and the map and everything. That's valuable knowledge for supporting a candidate. Are you considering supporting Trump or other candidates in a role, like maybe a volunteer role or a paid role?
Well, potentially I could be volunteering for some candidates come November, especially Michigan. We have a key contested not only at the presidential level, but potentially at the Senate level as well. So I might be volunteering for a candidate or two here and there. We'll have to see, because we got still like 4 to 5 months before the election. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a big Trump supporter. I wasn't always. I didn't vote for him in 2016, but I'm so happy with how the last 3.5 years have gone. I'm so happy with the progress, all the executive orders, combating human trafficking, actually stopping human trafficking through building the wall between, you know, the U.S. and Mexico. I'm happy with the trade agreements with Mexico and Canada and China and other countries. I'm just so over the moon happy with Donald Trump and his performance. And so I'm going to do something. I don't know what it's going to be, but one project that I'm doing, it has to do with a song. I have someone in my channel who wrote a song based on his speech called "The Best Is Yet to Come." And so we are working together, taking a beautiful patriotic song, and we're going to create a music video for it and t-shirts and memorabilia and stuff. And we're going to donate a portion of all of the profits that related to this merchandise to the Trump reelection campaign. So I will send that over to you when we complete that.
Yeah, sure. No problem.
Great. Is there anything else when we wrap up here that you just really want people to know right now from my channel? We have similar size channels. We focus on different things, but if it makes sense for people on my channel, go ahead and subscribe to you and follow you. What's something that's top of mind right now for you?
Not a whole lot, just focusing on the election. It's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen in the next couple weeks. I'm glad that Trump is resuming campaign rallies. I think he's going to Tulsa next week or so. So it's going to be exciting to see what happens over the next couple of months. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Cool. Well, thank you, Red Eagle Patriots, for all you guys who really want to get that data-driven election news and commentary. Head over to Red Eagle Patriot. And I'd like to catch up with you once we actually have some election related news to cover, especially not just presidential, all the other people who are running for different levels. So let's discuss that in a future interview.
Yeah, sure. No problem.
Great. Thanks so much.
Yeah, no problem.
Don't you feel like giving back to the heroes who risk their lives every day to make the world a safer place? I mean, the military, the police, the firefighters, the first responders. They don't get enough respect or gratitude. To think that there are homeless veterans right now, I mean, they deserve a place to live. Well, my friend Lucas is a veteran who was tired of seeing other vets living on the street, and he started HeroSoapCompany.com. He makes natural soap that's healthier for you and your family. He uses essential oils, goat's milk, coconut oil. And if you have sensitive skin or dry skin, it's really perfect. But you can actually get a subscription and get it delivered to your door every month. But the best part is that it helps heroes like homeless vets get a place to live. Go over to HeroSoapCompany.com, use the coupon code QFAQ to get a discount, and check out all the varieties. And my favorite one's peppermint because of the aroma, the fresh tingly feeling. It's really an awesome natural product for your family. But while you're there, learn about the charities that the Hero Soap Company supports. So you can support the heroes, support your health, support your family with chemical-free soap, and support the channel through HeroSoapCompany.com. By supporting this channel, you help us expand our reach and educate the masses in the spirit of truth and unity. You can support our channel for free. Just share our content on social media. Every time you click share, it makes a difference. So subscribe to our podcast, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Gab, Twitter, and YouTube from the links below. And you can buy QAnon clothing and gifts to spread the Great Awakening at QAnonFAQ.com. And you can become a patron to join a private community of fellow truth seekers. It's patreon.com/QAnonFAQ.